Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
The power of your decree. You see, your decree may be different to mine. We might be standing together side by side, worshipping the same God, singing the same songs, but your decree may be different to mine. And what we decree out of our mouth determines your future. It determines your world, and it actually determines your life. I want to make some opening statements before I begin to preach the word. I want to say these three things. We are meant, according to God's word, to rule like a king, to love like a priest, and to speak like a prophet. Rule like a king, love like a priest, and speak like a prophet. The Greek word for king is the Greek word basileus, which means a foundation of power. It literally means to go under the feet of the person in that place of authority. Now the Bible tells me that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father. The work of the enemy is where? Under our feet. You see, in Christ, we are already in a kingly position. Now, I've heard some kingly priests that all they do is thump the pulpit, tell the people what they need to be doing, tell the people what they want them to do, and it lacks the love that a priest should have. A priest, a pastor, a minister, whatever you like to say. But you see, a priest in biblical terms is the word hierios in Greek, which means a person of holiness. So there we have a person with a foundation of power. Equally alongside, in that same person is a person of love, but also that person of holiness, side by side. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Tony's ready and he's poised. And from Jesus Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. That's where he's seated. Ruler over the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us, everyone say, made me, king and priest to his God, to Jesus' God and Father. Isn't that good? That God is God even to Jesus. And Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood and has made us kings and priests. Did you know that? You're a king and a priest unto God and your heavenly Father. He made us that by washing us from all our sins in his own blood. And Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10 says the same thing, and has made us kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth. How are we going to reign on the earth? Kings and priests. God has set you up. He's set me up. He's set us up to rule as kings and priests to our God, not to ourselves, not to our own little kingdom or dominion, but unto him. And we shall reign on the earth. But he's also called us to be a prophet. That's what I love about the songs we sung tonight. We actually declared, we decreed things tonight. And those who were singing declared them with your mouth. And that's what a decree is about. It's declaring it. It's making it known with your mouth. So when we sing songs like Holy Spirit rain down, we're not just asking please, please, please. We're actually making the declaration. Holy Spirit rain down. That's a command. We're prophetically speaking into the future. You see, a prophet in the Greek word is a prophetes, a fortune teller, if you like, an inspired speaker. Comes from the two words in Greek, pro, which means before, and phame, which means to speak, to say, to show, or make known one's thoughts. You see, it's okay to be in rulership. I can be a king in my own household and nobody will know. I can lay down the law in my own household and even my wife may not know. I can lay down my law, I can write it out on paper, but no one needs to know. But what good is a king if he doesn't love his people? What good is that combination of a king who's in his own little world, his own little domain? I'm the king of this household. I'm the king of this business. I'm the king of my little domain. And king over who? And then you combine the love that God's put in through that calling of priesthood, the great high priesthood under the order of Melchizedek, Jesus Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, amen, who sets up the royal priesthood, you and I, a chosen generation, a royal people, a holy nation. And then in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 13, by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet, he was preserved. By a prophet, a foreteller of what is to come. I want to talk tonight about the power that is in your decree. The power that is in your decree. You see, praise establishes God's throne over your life and over your world. Praise will do that. Amen? I love you, Jesus. I thank you for all the good things. I thank you for your love towards me. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I give you praise that I am found to be a son, a daughter of the Most High. You see, that's praise. And that establishes God's throne not only in your life, but for those around who hear you declare and decree those words. Worship and prayer, which goes to the next level, connects you to his throne. Worship and prayer. You want to go to another level? Start thanking him. Out of thanksgiving, you go to praise. Out of praise, you go to worship and prayer, and you connect with his very throne. The Bible says, come boldly and with confidence into that throne room of grace in your time of need. Amen? Well, once you're there, what do? I'm in the throne room now. I'm with God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lord, I worship you. I honor you. God doesn't want us to spend all our time there with him. Our task, ordained, commissioned by him, is to go out then and proclaim his goodness. So prophecy, the next level, allows you to decree God's word from that throne position. You with me? I want to get there. I want to get in. And once I'm in, I want to do something with what I've just got while I'm in. And prophecy, or that declaration of God's word, is what we're going to talk about tonight. So by definition, a decree is a formal or an authoritative order, especially one having the force of the law. So you go back to old times where the king would make a decree. He'd write something out, or get his scribe to write something out. He'd get a dab of hot wax and he'd put his signet ring into that, and the town crier would go through the towns in merry old England, Tony. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The king has declared that thou shalt not play sport on Sundays, because it is the day of rest and the day of worshipping the Lord. And if you disobeyed that decree, off with your head, or some such punishment. But a decree was the decree. One of the other definitions of decree comes as this: one of the purposes of God, by which events are foreordained to declare, to decide, and to pronounce a decision. Think about that. To declare, to decide, and to pronounce a decision. Wonder how many declarations you've made. Wonder how many decrees you've made determining your path of following Jesus that were just that. Just light words. Just, yep, I'm going to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I heard about a poker game just down the street the other day. I better get involved with that. You see, your decree, your declaration wasn't deep enough to have the power in it to sustain you. In Job chapter 22, verse 28, Job 22, 28, the Bible says this: you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. I want to talk about that briefly before I go on, because there's power just in that word there. You, it doesn't say God, it says you followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are outside of Jesus Christ can still declare things. You shall declare a thing, and it will be established for you. One of the commentators around this verse wrote this: you frame all your projects and purposes with so much wisdom and so much grace and so much resignation to the will of God that the issue of them will be to your heart's content, just as you would have it be. That's quite poetic, isn't it? You think about what I just said. You frame all your projects and all your purposes with so much wisdom, so much grace, and so much resignation to the will of God that the issue of them will be to your heart's content, just as you would have it be. You see, that's a summary of that scripture. You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. Listen to what Proverbs 16 and verse 3 says: commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Commit your works. How many people love works? It's a necessary part of life. You can work under the Lord, or you can work in a business, or you do both together. Your works, if you commit them to the Lord, your thoughts will be established. Proverbs 16, verse 13. 3, sorry. 3. So what about these prophetic words? What about these declarations? What about these decrees? Come with me, if you would, to the book of Numbers. Book of Numbers tonight. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, one of Moses' books. I want to pick up in verse 23. 11. Sorry, didn't I say that? My apologies. I'll read out of the Holy Version tonight. Amplified. Good try, Chris. Numbers 11, verses 23 to 29. I want to read this out and follow it with me if you would. The Lord said to Moses, "Has the Lord's hand, his ability and his power become short, thwarted and inadequate? You shall see now whether my word shall come to pass for you or not." So Moses went out, told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and set them around about the tent. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took of the spirit that was upon him and put it upon the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, sounding forth the praises of God and declaring his will. Then they did this so no more. Verse 26, but there remained two men in the camp named Eldad and Medad. The spirit rested upon them, same spirit, capital S, and they were all of those who were selected and listed, yet they did not go out to the tent as told to do, but they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran to Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying. They're sounding forth praises of God and declaring his will in the camp. Verse 28, Joshua said, son of Nun, the minister of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, my lord Moses, forbid them. How dare they do this? My version, not in the Bible. But Moses said to them, verse 29, are you envious? Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Wow. Way back in the time of Moses, people got upset because the Spirit of the Lord rested not on just the elders, not on just the priest Moses, their leader, but it rested on these two men, these two nobodies who remained in the camp. Are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. You know, and there's one thing about prophets. There's one thing about people that move in prophetic ministry. If they're of God, they know how to say things and they know when to say things. So let's look at this. Let's look how it is tonight that we would experience the power of our decree. Number one, know your position to know your power. Know your position to know your power. Now you can say to me, "Knight, well, that kings and priests things, you got that out of Revelation." Yeah, I did. But come with me, if you would, to Proverbs. Got you doing your homework tonight. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 15. By me, God says, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, God's saying, every ruler, every leader, every person in position of power is sitting under the Lord. They might not like it. They might be obedient to what the Lord's saying, but that's where they are. Amen? So what is your position in decreeing what you want to come to pass? Just because it's a bad day doesn't mean it's a sad day. Ever been in that place? Things not going well? Things not turning out the way you expected them to be? Yesterday? You know? All of us have our yesterdays. But does that make it a bad day? Is it a sad day? Yes. Are things not going right? Yes. Are things turning against you? Yes. But what power do you have inside of you to speak to that mountain in order to cast it into the sea? I've written here in my notes, don't let the dust of your circumstances choke you out. We're all caught up with what's going wrong, and we forget to look at what's going right and what is meant to be placed right by the power of our decree. Know your position to know your power. Where are you situated in all this? Where are you tonight? Where will you be tomorrow morning when it's Monday morning again? Got a list of things to do, of things you want to get accomplished. No money, no time, no resources, no energy, no fuel. And you go, oh, it's Monday again. Guess what you've just decreed? It's Monday again. But according to the position that Christ has placed you in, it's Monday again. Amen? So you've got to know your position. Where are you situated here? In Luke chapter 10, the disciples came back and they celebrated that they'd seen demons cast out. Jesus' reply to them was what? Don't be concerned about that. Be glad that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where your position of power lies. The fact that on any day, whether it be a good day or a bad day, your position is in Christ. Oh, but Pastor Lou, I'm feeling like bad stuff. I'm feeling low. I'm feeling helpless. I'm feeling sad. I'm going through depression. Well, you've just decreed where you are. You're still in Christ. Nobody can snatch you out of being in Christ. Not sickness, nor disease, nor lack, nor fear, nor discomfort. You're in Christ, whether it's a bad day or not. Amen? So to know your position is a great revelation to live in. That no matter what you're in, no matter what's going on, no matter what surrounds you, your position is still a position of power. Yeah? Yeah. And we need to know that in our heart of hearts. When the bad stuff happens, what are we going to say to that bad stuff? Oh, here we go again. That's a decree. You're giving that situation, that circumstance, permission to make you go around that dumb mountain again. Amen? So let's look at the next point. If you know your position and you know your power, you must agree with the decree to release the power. Didn't mean it to rhyme. Agree with the decree to release the power. We often talk about the power we've got pent up in our cars, in our motorbikes, in our machines. You know, there's so much power available. How often are power tools left unpowered? How many cars just putt around Victor Harbour at 30 kilometres an hour when the speed limit's at least 50? We take it out on the open road and we get up to 80 in a 100 zone. What's your response to that? Guilty? No. But again, a decree over this situation says, Lord, I thank you for the safety of that car in front of me. I thank you as I go past them now at the registered speed limit that I'm going to bless them as I go past. That's your decree. And so it is with the things of God. We've got this Holy Spirit power pent up inside of us and we don't know how to access it in order to release it. Listen to what it says in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Told you I'd have you working tonight. John 14, verses 13 and 14. This is Jesus declaring a release of power over your decree. And it says, and whatever you ask in my name, Jesus speaking, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Pretty powerful stuff, isn't it? Now, tell me, if you're outside of Christ, can you use any of this stuff? You haven't got access to the authority. You haven't got access to the power. So you've got to have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, honor Him, bless Him, make His name great, gives you access, as we said earlier, gives you the right then to decree these things according to God's will. Not, you know, I'd love a new, you know, Maserati, I'd love to, you know, trip around the world and I'd love to do all that, but really, does God want me to do that? So I can ask anything. Yes, God, I really do need a Maserati. Although I did get a new Ferrari the other day. As a matter of fact, I got two. They're both this long, this high. My Italian neighbor brought them all the way back from the Ferrari factory in Italy. I can't complain. I did ask him for a Ferrari. He bought me two. But look at these words, and whatever you ask in my name. Don't go to the Father in your own name. Go to the Father in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. And I usually add that name that's above every other name. God doesn't need to be reminded that. I need to be reminded that. Father, I'm in a jam. You know your promises over me, and I just continue then in the authority that He's given me to ask with that expectation, because Lord, you said whatever I ask, that you will do. Why? Because my Father will be glorified in the Son, and Jesus promised me if you ask anything in my name, He will do it. What about Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7? It says this: I will declare the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my Son, this day I declare I have begotten you. Are there any sons and daughters in the house tonight? You see, He sent His only begotten Son in order to get more sons and daughters. Jesus didn't go out and make babies, that's not what it's about. But what He did, He welcomed people out of darkness into His wonderful light, and we became sons and daughters, according to John chapter 1 and verse 12. But to as many as did receive and welcome Him, He gave them the authority, the power, the privilege, the right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in His name. Now that's a declaration. That's a declaration that you and I can use. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I come as a son. I come as a daughter, Dad. And I'm hurting real bad. I'm in need, Lord. You know my need. But Lord, there's no other way out of it. I just surrender everything to you, Lord, and I just ask. You see, that releasing or agreeing with the decree according to what's written in God's word, when I have that revelation of that, I don't go as a greedy, spoilt child. I go as a right-standing son of the living God. I don't come in my name and my authority. I come in the authority and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I gain access to the throne and I ask according to what God has promised me. I draw down, as many said, on that account in heaven that's rightfully mine and rightfully yours. So you agree with the decree to release the power. You know, it's no good saying, well, by His stripes I was healed. And you go outside and your friend says to you, so how are you feeling? My back is killing me. So your decree in there, by His stripes I am healed, is counterbalanced by this other one that says, my back is killing me. What's God meant to do with our decrees when we don't line up with the decree of His word? He goes, well, Lou, when you're ready, make up your mind and whatever you decree, it shall be yours. I've heard it, you've heard it, we've all been guilty of it, haven't we? Yeah. We undo what we've said in God's presence and we go about doing this worldly conversation, these worldly decrees, these worldly prophesyings, and we wonder why things don't turn out. I've written here as point number three, by your decree, you design your world. By your decree. You see, I can turn to Tony over here, and I can say, Tony, you're an awesome man of God. You're an amazing man. I love the way you work humbly in the place. I love the way you greet people. I love the way you serve the church. And Tony goes, wow. Wow. Pastor thinks that of me. Wow. Then he meets someone down the street and he goes, you know, I'm feeling really lousy. Oh, nobody really loves me or cares for me, you know. I'm just out here alone, doing my thing, and nobody even notices me. I'm helping Tony to design a better world. Tony's laying hold of his old world because, I don't know why, because I know Tony wouldn't. But you actually design your world by the words that you utter out of your mouth. And this is one thing about a decree. A decree was meant to be loudly declared. The town crier didn't go into the town and goes, anybody listening? Got this great announcement to make from the king. The king says tomorrow's a public holiday because it's his birthday. Yay! Oh, I'm going to the next town. Psalm 148 verse 5 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. You see, your decree will determine your degree of influence or success. Your decree will determine your degree of influence or success. Joshua 1:8, you should all know the scripture well. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Notice the way God lines it up. By your decree, you design your world. Your decree is based on what you're fashioning in your spirit, man, by getting into God's word. It fashions you on the inside, and it then fashions your world and your life as an outworking of that. This is too deep on a Sunday night, I can tell. Number four, and I think this is a key one, persist with your decree, and you'll preside over your world. Persist with your decree and you'll preside over your world. What good is it declaring in a connect group, in a prayer group, in a church setting that God is good and God is good all the time when you go out and bag the church, bag the pastor, bag God's work, make a mockery of everything you've been taught, or get swayed by others who think you're just a madman, a madwoman? Don't know what you're talking about? Really? God still heals today? I don't think so. And you start to take on board a worldly philosophy, a worldly doctrine, and it taints your own belief system where you should be standing strong on what God has spoken to you about and you've got that revelation on. Amen? I can imagine Chris sitting in the Flinders Medical Center. Oh, woe is me. This pain is just amazing. What'd you say to me? 10 times worse than you'd experience with your other back injury. Oh, nurse, come to me. Please, come to me now. Trudy's just been in 5 minutes before and laid hands on him and anointed his head with oil and prophesied scriptures over him. He said amen to every one of them. Then he goes, oh, nurse, oh. And he might have done that anyway. But where's his trust in the Lord? You and I, just on the simplest of things, need to persist in our decree and then you will, it's a promise of the Lord, preside over your world. I spoke to our visitors this morning, and I said to them, you've got to keep a positive attitude about the things of God. You can't slip back and then feel lousy upon yourself because you've slipped back. Anyone else slip back in their walk with God at any time in their life? Yeah, we all have. We get down on ourselves, we get down on life, life gets into us, and then we blame ourselves. Oh, why did I ever do that? Well, where's your decree? Where is it when you're right in the middle of that dusty place, that dry, barren zone? Where's that decree of, I'm still in the Lord, I'm still one of the King's kids, He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way? You see, they're decrees that God has to stand by. Psalm 148 and verse 6. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. God made a decree that will not pass away. Now, if you're in God tonight, those same decrees have the same power. They have the same authority. So guard yourself with what you decree. And if it's of the Lord, if it lines up with His word, then persist with it. Don't bow down to somebody else's naysaying and somebody else's interpretation of what you've got the revelation on. Come with me to Ezra chapter 6. I want to just share a brief scripture out of here, because this spoke so much to me about what God wants to do. Ezra, just before Nehemiah, chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, I want to read through to 14. I like this because this backs up what I felt in my spirit over tonight's message. Let's follow through. It says right through to verse 14 from verse 1. Then King Darius the First decreed, and a search was made in Babylonia in the house where the treasured records were stored. And in Ecbatana, in the capital in the province of Media, a scroll was found in which this was recorded. Verse 3. In the first year of King Cyrus, he made a decree concerning the house of God in Jerusalem. Let the house, this is what it had in the decree, let the house, the place where they offer sacrifices, be built. And let its foundations be strongly laid, its height and its breadth, each 60 cubits, with three courses of great stones and one course of new timber. Let the cost be paid from the royal treasury. Also, let the gold and the silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, be restored and brought back to the temple in Jerusalem, each put in its place in the house of God. Verse 6. Now therefore, Tattenai, governor of the province west of the river, Shethar, Bozanai, and your associates, the Apharazites, which are west of the river, keep far away from there. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor and the elders of the Jews build this house of God on its site. Verse 8. Moreover, I decree as to what you shall do for these elders of the Jews for the rebuilding of this house of God. The cost is to be paid in full to these men at once from the king's revenue, the tribute of the province west of the river, that they not be hindered. And all they need, including young bulls, rams, and lambs for the burnt offerings to the God of heaven, and the wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the word of the priests at Jerusalem, let it be given them each day without fail, that they may offer pleasing sacrifices to the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. Also, verse 11, I make a decree that whoever shall change or infringe on this order, let a beam be pulled from his house and erected, and then let him be fastened to it, and let his house be made a dunghill for this.
May the God who has caused his name to dwell in there overthrow all kings and peoples who put forth their hands to alter this or to destroy this house of God in Jerusalem. I, Darius, make a decree. Let it be executed speedily and exactly. Then Tattenai, governor of the province this side of the river, the Shethar, Bozanai, and their associates diligently did what King Darius had what? Decreed. And the elders of the Jews built and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah son of Iddo. They finished their building as commanded by the God of Israel and by decree of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. You see, a decree stands. Darius thought that a decree had been made by King Cyrus, and he ordered his men to follow through on that decree that had not yet been fulfilled. And he said, therefore, I decree that that decree shall come to pass. You see, I believe that the decrees in the Word of God are meant to come to pass. So if you're sick, don't say things like, if it's your will that I be healed, Lord. Get to know his will. And then declare his will, which is by his stripes I was healed. Declare it. Hear your own voice. Say it again and again and again and again. If you're in lack, find a scripture that refers to your lack in your finances, in your faithfulness, in your courage, whatever that lack is, and then declare it and decree it as though your very life depended on it. Point number five, and I finish with this. Specifically direct your decree. Specifically direct your decree, and you will see the effect. Specifically. You know, I was looking at my ankle the other night and I realized that my right ankle was a little bit more swollen than the left ankle. So I immediately placed my hand on my left shoulder and prayed for healing. No, I did not. I took hold of my right ankle, the ankle that was inflamed, the ankle that was swollen. And I declared God's goodness to flow into that ankle. I just didn't make up some lovely little scripture verse that spoke to me generally. I spoke to that ankle specifically. I declared that it would come back into right health. I declared that the swelling would go down. What did I do? I made a decree that God would be the God that he says he is through his word. I specifically directed my decree to the area that was in lack. Amen? And I want us to hang on to that tonight. That if you're going to pray specifically, pray it specifically. Mount Micah chapter 7, verse 11. Come with me to Micah, the book of Micah. Micah chapter 7. Verse 11. You see, the Word of God is filled with so many promises of God, what God wants to fulfill. So many promises that you and I haven't even recognized yet, far less tapped into. And when the Lord declares a thing through His Word, it's there for us to grab hold of it and to duplicate it over our situation and our circumstance. Here it is in Micah chapter 7, verse 11. In the day that your walls are to be built, a day for building, in that day shall the boundary of Israel be far extended and the decree against her be far removed. In the day, New King James says, when your walls are to be built, in that day the decree shall go far and wide. You see, your decree is meant to go further than just for your benefit. Your decree is meant to bring people out of darkness and into God's wonderful light.
Your decree is meant to bring people out of captivity and into freedom in the Holy Ghost. Your decree is meant to bring people out of lack into a place of more than enough. Your decree is supposed to testify that God still heals today. Your decree is that we're not going to bend and bow to the gods of this world. We're going to stand strong because we believe in our Lord God, the only living God that's around. And there's so many things that are sitting on parliamentary floors right now in this nation that unless the church stands up to it, the world's just going to get their way and we're going to wonder why. And I believe with all my heart that more we declare, the more we decree God's word, not only over our situation, but over those other situations in worldly people that we hang around with, not yet church people that we do business with, the opportunity to speak God's word into them, I believe, is all that more important. I believe that with all my heart. I'm putting it into practice on a daily basis. I'm stretching out in faith. People that I would never mention the name of God to for fear that they'd, you know, sort of push me away and not want to be anything to do with me. I'm now saying, you know what? I would love to pray into that situation for you. I'd love to speak some words of wisdom right now. And that's what God is waiting to do. That the power of your decree, yes, it'll bless you. Yes, it'll change you. But we said earlier that it'll actually change your world, shape your world, design your world and your life. Don't just do Sunday Christianity. Do 7 day a week Christianity. Be the God type of person that Jesus hung himself on the cross for, or allowed himself to be hung on the cross for. Be that disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ that boldly goes in where angels fear to tread. Be that disciple that goes into the lion's den because you don't fear the hungry lion. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Can I encourage us all, when we praise, when we worship in this place, those words that we are speaking, those words we are singing, they're prophetically decreeing your world, your life, your future, and your success. I believe that with all my heart. We don't sing songs in here just for the sake of singing songs. My goodness me, we could get out Senke's old hymn book. Start in there. We want to sing words that bring life into your spirit. Life that raises you up. Words that strengthen you for the week ahead. And so at this point, I would like to encourage Trudy to come forward and lead us just in a short time of worship before we come around the communion table. And I want you to see that what you are speaking out of your mouth, you see, the Bible says if you believe in your heart and speak with your mouth, there's a combination there. I can believe all day long, but when I speak out what I believe, that's where the power is declared. So tonight, as we sing these last, haven't you got a couple of worship songs there? See them as declarations of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your mouth and let the words come out. I believe. I don't know what songs you've got here. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. I can think that all day long. I can believe it in my heart. But when I speak it, it's out there in the universe. It's out there as the decree. That God, you are my God. Amen? Father, we thank you for a day just like today. We thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you, Lord, for the glory that inhabits our lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that our lives are filled with the glorious presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you, Lord, envisioned a day like just like today, an evening just like this evening, where we were gathered together as believing believers in your house. And we would decree and declare the goodness and the greatness of our God with our lips. That out of the abundance of our heart, our mouths would speak of the glorious God whom we serve and whom we follow. Lord, tonight as we take these elements, this cup and this bread, Lord, as we lay hold of that in our hands, Lord, we're reminded that your son Jesus envisioned an evening just like this. where we would stand before our Maker and we would say, "Holy, holy is our Lord. God, we need you more." Words like, "Lord, we'll never understand how much it costs for the sin that was in our lives. God, one day we will see probably a measure of what it really was looking like. But Lord, if we've asked your forgiveness, then Lord, you've not only forgiven, but you've forgotten all that stuff. So we'll never know how much it costs. Lord, it cost you your life. It cost you your everything so that we could have everything. And Lord, we declare your goodness over us tonight. Lord, I just ask if the communion steward could just distribute those emblems to us now, that we could lay hold of that cup and that bread and be reminded in our own individual walk that God so loves you, that he does not want you to stay in that same place that you were in yesterday. He doesn't want you in that place that you were in yesterday or even this morning. But his will, his purpose for you is that you would move ahead and have great success. That you would not only read his word and meditate his word, but you would do his word. That you would declare his greatness and reveal his greatness wherever you go. And Lord, as we hold this bread and we hold this cup, we're reminded that it wasn't just a life, it was your life given. That upon your shoulders you took the entire weight of sin, the entire world, both present, past and future. You took it upon your shoulder and you said, "This sacrifice which I now give is once and for all." So Lord, as we just meditate on that thought that we were on that list, our sin was on that list where you hung there on that wooden cross. But today we stand before you, if we've asked forgiveness, if we've repented of wrong living, Lord, our slate is wiped clean. The blood of you, Lord, the blood of the Lamb has wiped that slate clean. Our debt to the devil is naught and zero. Lord, you say if there's any sin in your life, we're to ask you, Lord, to reveal it into us, so that we would have that opportunity to repent, to turn away from that way, wrong way of living, and turn our eyes back on you and live that life you've called us to live. So Father, tonight as we hold these emblems, Lord, this bread which represents your body, this cup that represents so clearly your blood, Lord, as we take it physically into our bodies, spiritually, may we receive all that it was meant to give. This is my body given for you. I am the bread of life, you said. Lord, if we take the bread of life into our life, then our life is changed, because the bread of life is much more powerful, much more influential, much more resilient and resisting of sin than our life. And then, Lord, you ask us to drink of this cup that represents your blood, the blood that cleanses us, the blood that cleanses us from all sin and makes us white as snow, the blood that seals the covenant of relationship between your Father, who is now our Father, and us. But by the blood of this one sacrificial lamb, the bridge between Father and his children is restored to all those who choose to believe on the name of Jesus. Your word says it gives us the right to become children of God. But God, we thank you right now as we eat and we drink, that it's not just bread and grape juice. It is meant to represent your body and your blood given to us. And Lord, your prayer, your heart tonight is my prayer, my heart tonight, that as we eat and as we drink, we would be ready for anything that comes our way because of the finished work of the cross. That my Redeemer, he lives, and he lives forevermore. He is the risen Savior, and he is coming back for a pure and a spotless bride. Lord, we thank you now as we eat and we drink. Gladness, joy, peace, provision, creativity, resourcefulness, into our spirit, man. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's eat and drink.